The number of licensed foster homes in Washington has dropped by nearly 20% since 2007. That's according to a report in the Seattle Times. That means about 1,000 fewer homes available to kids in the foster care system. Mary Jean Smith has been on both sides of that system. She went through foster homes as a kid. She's now a foster parent who works with the Foster Parents Association of Washington State. She told David Hyde her story.
I was in a very abusive situation at home. My parents had joined sort of a religious cult, and there was a lot of physical, sexual, and mental abuse. I ran away when I was 13 from that situation, and they placed me in this receiving home. The social worker who was doing the placement, she could tell that I had been through a lot and wasn't like set up to be the kind of person that should go into like a teen group home or that type of thing where it was going to be more hardcore around a lot of more difficult kids. So she called a gal who took kids up to like the age of 12 and begged her to take me. And she was over capacity, but she said, well, if it was all right for her to put a mattress in a closet that she had, it was kind of like a walk-in closet until they had one of the other kids move, that she could take me. So, but I actually have to say, you know, like it's not a negative thing about the closet. It actually felt like a little safe haven to me at the time because I'd been through so much, and this woman was so kind and so nice. And that's one of the things, you know, I was kind of trying to point out when you have these foster parents who've been doing this for a long time, like this woman had, they just know how to put kids at ease. And for me, that closet experience is actually a really positive memory.
And what happened after that?
I was there for 30 days, and then the social worker didn't believe my side of the story about what was going on at home because it was really bizarre, and my mother was a very exceptional liar, and so they ended up placing me back home. So I experienced several more years of abuse, 2 more years actually, before I left again at age 15. But the thing that kind of kept me going was having had that 30-day reprieve where I was with this woman where she showed me a different way of life and what things could be like, and it really gave me a lot of hope.
And you eventually ended up in a stable foster home. I'm wondering if you ever ask yourself, what if I hadn't ended up in a stable foster home?
Definitely. I think having the experience of being in a foster home with people who cared about me, knew what they were doing, knew how to support me, is really what gave me the chance that I had to straighten things out, because many people don't. You know, when you've been through a lot in your life and difficult trauma, you see a lot of things repeated generation after generation. But I know there's a lot of studies that have shown, too, that if you have just one person in your life who says, hey, I'm crazy about you, I think you're awesome, I believe in you, that can make all the difference. And I really feel like that was the case for me. And that's what has inspired me to try to be that for other young people as well, the children that have come through my home.
And you're now a foster parent. Why did you decide to do that?
I always knew in the back of my mind that I wanted to be able to give back the way that I'd been given to. I just felt like the stability that I experienced in those homes is what gave me the strength to keep going and to do better and to be more. So when we had the opportunity, we had a nice home over in Monroe. We were like, you know, we have extra rooms. We might as well give this a shot. And we've just been doing it ever since.
You know, I'm wondering if you have a person who helped you, a foster parent, who just really stands out for you for how much they were able to help you when you were in a really tough situation.
Well, the foster parent that I had, the first one that I told you when I was 13, she was just so kind, and she just said the kindest things to me and gave me a lot of hope.
If you could meet her now and talk to her, what would you say to her?
I'd tell her that she changed my life. She made my life better. She gave me the hope that has driven the choices that I've made in my life. And thank her.
That was Mary Jean Smith. She's a foster parent now and works with the Foster Parents Association of Washington State, and she was a foster child herself. She spoke there with our executive producer, David Hyde. Now, as I said at the beginning, the number of licensed foster homes in Washington State has been dropping. It's dropped by almost 20% since 2007. So why? Why this decline? What can we do about it? Well, Patrick Dowd has thoughts about that. He directs the state's Office of the Family and Children's Ombudsman. Their mission is to make sure that abused and neglected children and their parents are served reasonably and fairly by government agencies. Patrick, welcome to KUOW.
Thank you, Bill.
Why are we seeing this steep decline in licensed foster homes in Washington?
Well, we don't know exactly why this is happening, but there are several factors that we believe are contributing to this. Our office has heard concerns that the state's reimbursement rates for foster parents are too low, that foster parents often feel overwhelmed, that they do not receive sufficient support, and specifically when they're caring for children with behavioral issues or mental health needs. And we also hear that some foster parents feel that they're not included as part of the team, if you will, in case planning for the child.
And how does this drop in foster parents affect kids?
Well, our office has seen an increase in the use of emergency temporary housing that is clearly not intended or designed for caring for children. And this would include children staying overnight in hotels or in CPS offices a Child Protective Services office, because a caseworker is simply not able to locate a foster home for a child. These children come into care under kind of emergent circumstances, usually with very little notice or short term for a caseworker to identify an appropriate foster home to begin with. So the department can be under the gun, so to speak, to even locate a placement to begin with. And then when you add a shortage of licensed foster homes, it just compounds the problem. We've also seen children placed temporarily with a foster parent that might be over capacity and there's been a temporary waiver granted, or with a relative that is not a long-term option. And this just necessitates another move for the child, which is harmful to the child's well-being.
Okay, so children in emergency housing, kids in hotels, kids who end up in bad placements. And what is the effect of all this on the children living this situation?
Well, not providing a child with an appropriate placement when a child enters care can be traumatic and disruptive. The child was likely just removed from the home by a law enforcement officer or by a Child Protective Services worker who the child does not know, and from a situation where the child was experiencing abuse or neglect. The child does not know what will happen next. Those fears are only confirmed when they stay in an office overnight or in a hotel room supervised by a caseworker that, again, is a stranger to them. And this is at a time when what they need is stability. They're exposed to just simply more uncertainty. It's also disruptive to any normalcy that they've had, such as their school schedule or even contact with neighbors or friends.
So what do you want to do? What do you want to see done to increase the number of foster homes?
Well, I think we need ongoing and increased efforts by both our public and private child welfare system to retain and recruit foster parents, particularly for older children and those with special needs. Foster parents that feel appreciated and supported are the best recruitment tool to bring more individuals into the system to assist these children.
Patrick Dowd, we just have a few seconds. I want to give you a chance to recruit right now. What do you say to somebody listening, thinking, I might consider becoming a foster parent? I don't know.
I would just go to the overwhelming need that these children have, and that also that just the duty of as a member of our community to serve our most vulnerable population.
Patrick Dowd with the state's Office of the Family and Children's Ombudsman talking about the drop in the number of licensed foster homes in this state. We appreciate it, Patrick.
Thank you, Bill.